Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Joe Zimmel and Valerie Friedman.
All right, so I will order a copy of the transcript of this following ruling, and I will sign it, and I will place it in the court file as my decision for the purposes of any appeal. So I'll first address the Clinton deposition issue and the conduct of July 1st, 2021. In the July 19, 2021 court filing by the defendants InfoWars LLC, Free Speech Systems LLC, InfoWars Health LLC, and Prison Planet LLC, they described how in the motion to depose Hillary Clinton, testimony designated by the plaintiffs as highly confidential was filed in the Clinton deposition motion. They explained that this was done because, in their opinion, the plaintiffs did not have a good faith basis to designate the deposition as highly confidential before the deposition had commenced, despite the fact that the Jones defendants had previously done so themselves. And it is not lost on the court that the highly confidential information was improperly filed in the middle of the first deposition of a plaintiff. The July 19, 2021 filing is in sharp contrast to the Jones defendant's position at the October 20, 2021 sanctions hearing, where the court addressed what, if any, sanctions should enter. At the October 20 hearing, the Jones defendants claimed that they believed they could publish confidential information as long as they did not reveal the name of the witness. That is, they argued unconvincingly that they didn't understand the very protective order that they themselves drafted and asked the court to approve as a court order, which the court did. The position of the Jones defendants at the October 2021 sanctions hearing did nothing but reinforce the court's August 5th, 2021 order and findings that the cavalier actions on July 1st, 2021 constituted willful misconduct and violated the court's clear and unambiguous protective order. The history of the attorneys who have appeared for the defendants, Alex Jones, InfoWars LLC, Free Speech Systems LLC, InfoWars Health LLC, and Prison Planet TV LLC, is a convoluted one, even putting aside the motions to withdraw appearance, the claims of conflicts of interest, and the motions for stay advanced by these five defendants. As the record reflects, on June 28, 2018, Attorney Woolman appeared for all five of the Jones defendants. 8 months later, on March 1st, 2019, Attorney Woolman is out of the case, and Pattis and Smith filed an in lieu of appearance for all five defendants. On February 24, 2020, Attorney Latronica also appeared for all five defendants. 5 months later, on July 7, 2020, Attorney Latronica and Pattis and Smith is now out of the case, and Attorney Woolman is back in the case for all five defendants. Then on June 28, 2020, Pattison Smith is back in the case, but now only appears for the four LLC defendants. But what is perhaps more significant is the transparent attempt to cloud the issues by Pattison Smith, for example, by listing the names of only three of the four clients they represent when filing the motion to take the deposition of Hillary Clinton, but then listing all four clients in the July 19, 2021 filing relating to the issue, and by Attorney Woolman, who then argued in his October 2021 filing that InfoWars LLC had no involvement in the motion for commission because their lawyer did not list their name on the motion. It is simply improper under our rules of practice for an attorney to do so. Turning to the issue of the subsidiary ledgers. The five Jones defendants on November 6, 2020 filed with the court their discovery objections relating to the deposition of Free Speech Systems accounting manager and current employee Melinda Flores. In response to the plaintiff's request for subsidiary ledgers, the Jones defendants objected on the basis that the production of the subsidiary ledgers was oppressive, unduly burdensome, disproportionate, harassing, and that it would require digging through 8 years of accounting. No objection was raised as to the term subsidiary ledger, although parties frequently will object to a discovery request if they consider them vague or confusing. On April 29, 2021, the court overruled the objection. On May 6, 2021, the court ordered the deposition of Flores to take place on June 4, 2021, and ordered the documents to be produced by the close of business on May 14, 2021, stating that failure to comply may result in sanctions. On May 14, 2021, the five Jones defendants responded to the document request in court order and stating that the subsidiary ledgers were incorporated into the trial balances and had been produced. At her June 4, 2021 deposition, Flores, the accounting manager, testified that subsidiary ledgers or detail was easily accessible and available to her. She testified that it would show the sources of advertising income, and she testified repeatedly that Free Speech System maintains subsidiary ledger information. Flores did not believe she was obligated to produce the subsidiary ledgers, and it is unclear as to whether they have been produced. It was impossible to reconcile the expert hired by Free Speech Systems with the November 6, 2020 objections filed with the court and with Flores's deposition testimony. While the Jones defendants in their May 5, 2021 motion state that Flores would be the best employee to identify and produce the requested documents, and further state that Flores would be compelled by Free Speech System to produce the requested documents at the deposition, the defendant's hired expert, Mr. Rowe, said that Flores was wrong and that Free Speech System doesn't use or have subsidiary ledgers. The court, in its August 6, 2021 order, found that the subsidiary ledger information was easily accessible by Flores by clicking on each general account, that despite the court orders, and although the information exists, is maintained by Free Speech Systems and was required by the court order to produce, it had not been produced. And again, it is still unclear as to what documents have been produced. The court rejected Rowe's statements in his affidavit as not credible in light of the circumstances, and the court found that the plaintiffs were prejudiced in their ability to prosecute their claims and conduct further meaningful depositions, and that sanctions would be addressed at a future hearing. At the October 2021 sanctions hearing, the court addressed whether sanctions should enter. The court finds that sanctions are in fact appropriate in light of the defendant's failure to fully and fairly comply with the plaintiff's discovery request and the court's orders of April 29, 2021, May 6, 2021, and August 6, 2021. Turning to the trial balances. In addition to objecting to the deposition of Flores, the Jones defendants, as I mentioned, filed discovery objections to the request for production directed to Flores. The court ruled in favor of the defendants on one production request and ruled in favor of the plaintiffs with respect to others. In addition to the subsidiary ledgers, the court ordered the production of the trial balances. Flores had run trial balances in the past unrelated to this action. Flores testified at her June 4, 2021 deposition that she personally accessed QuickBooks and selected the option to generate trial balances for 2012 to 2019. She testified that she ran the reports and printed them out and believed that the reports were produced. Her testimony, the reports that she ran were produced, was left uncorrected by counsel at the deposition. The reports were not produced by the court order deadline of May 14, 2021. They were not produced at her June 4, 2021 deposition, and they have not been produced to date, despite their obligation to do so. While the Jones defendants in their May 5th, 2021 court filing emphasized that Flores would be the best employee to identify and produce the requested documents, which would include the trial balances, and that Flores would be compelled by Free Speech Systems to produce the documents at her deposition, not only were the reports she ran not produced, but the Jones defendants in their October 7, 2021 filing now claim that Flores, a mere bookkeeper, provided flawed information to the defendants that the defendants, through Roe, had to correct, and the court rejects that position. The Jones defendants argue that Roe combined some accounts that were not used consistently and consolidated some general accounts because various transactions all involved the same account, and those records created by the Jones defendant's outside accountant were the records that were produced. But these records that removed accounts and consolidated accounts altered the information in the reports that their own accounting manager had produced, and they contained trial balances that did not balance. These sanitized, inaccurate records created by Roe were simply not responsive to the plaintiff's request or to the court's order. Turning to the analytics. The date for the parties to exchange written discovery has passed after numerous extensions by the court. On May 14, 2021, the court ordered that the defendants were obligated to fully and fairly comply with the plaintiff's earlier request for disclosure and production. On June 1, 2021, the defendants filed an emergency motion for protective order, apparently seeking protection from the court's own order, where the defendants again attempted to argue the scope of appropriate discovery. The court on June 2, 2021 declined to do so and extended the deadline for final compliance to June 28, 2021, ordering the defendants to begin to comply immediately on a rolling basis. In its June 2nd order, the court warned that failure to comply would result in sanctions, including default. With respect to analytics, including Google Analytics and social media analytics, the defendants on May 7, 2019, represented that they had provided all the analytics that they had. They stated with respect to Google Analytics that they had access to Google Analytic reports but did not regularly use them. As the court previously set forth in its September 30, 2021 order, the defendants also claimed that on June 17, 2019, they informally emailed zip files containing Google Analytics reports to the plaintiffs, but not the co-defendants, and emailed the plaintiffs state they did not receive and that the court found would not have been in compliance with our rules of practice. On June 28, 2021, the Jones defendants filed a notice of compliance stating that complete final supplemental compliance was made by the defendants Alex Jones and Free Speech Systems LLC, and that InfoWars LLC, InfoWars Health LLC, and Prison Planet LLC, quote, had previously produced all documents required to be produced, end quote, representing that with respect to the Google Analytic documents, Free Speech Systems LLC could not export the data set and that the only way they could comply was through the sandbox approach. Then on August 8, 2021, the Jones defendants for the first time formally produced Excel spreadsheets limited to Google Analytics, apparently for Infowars.com and not for any of the other websites such as Prison Planet TV or InfoWars Health. Importantly, the Jones defendants to date has still not produced any analytics data from any other platforms such as Alexa, Quantcast, or Creo. The Jones defendants' production of the social media analytics has similarly been insubstantial and similarly has fallen far short both procedurally and substantively. Despite prior representations by the Jones defendants that they had produced the social media analytics, and despite the May 25, 2021 deposition testimony of Louis Certucci, free speech system social media manager for nearly a decade that there were no such documents. At the June 28, 2021 deposition of free speech system corporate designee Zimmerman, Mr. Zimmerman testified that in fact he had obtained some responsive documents from Certucci, which were then loaded into a deposition chat room by counsel for the Jones defendants. It appears that these documents were minimal summaries or reports for Facebook and Twitter, but not for other platforms used by the defendants, such as YouTube. Any claim of the defendants that the failure to produce these documents was inadvertent falls flat, as there was no evidence submitted to the court that the defendants had a reasonable procedure in place to compile responsive materials within their power, possession, or knowledge. Months later, on October 8, 2021, the Jones defendants formally produced six documents for the spring of 2017 for Facebook, containing similar information to the Zimmerman chatroom documents, but not included in the chatroom documents, and screenshots of posts by Free Speech Systems to an unidentified social media account with no analytics. The defendants represented that they had produced all the analytics when they have not done so. They represented in court filings that they did not rely on social media analytics, and this too is false. And I'm going to need to take a 30-second water break, please. Excuse me. This response was false. The plaintiffs, in support of their motion for sanctions on the analytics issue, attached as Exhibit D an email dated December 15, 2014, between former Free Speech Systems business manager Timothy Fruge and current Free Speech System employee Buckley Hammond. Fruge attaches annotated charts of detailed analytics concerning Jones' 2014 social media audience, including gender demographics, engagement, and social media sites that refer people to Infowars.com. As pointed out by the plaintiffs, Fruge's annotations are even more telling than the charts themselves and totally contradict the Jones defendants' misrepresentations to the court that, quote, there is no evidence to suggest that Mr. Jones or Free Speech Systems ever use these analytics to drive content, end quote. The next image on the document shows key indicators on Twitter. Those are engagement and influence. Again, this is reading from Fruge's notes. Again, the next image shows the key indicators on Twitter. Those are engagement and influence. Notice our influence is great and our engagement is low. I bring this up, again, these are Fruge's notes, because we should try and raise our engagement with our audience. Engagement is how well we are communicating and interacting with our audience. The higher our engagement, the more valuable our audience will become to our business. And that is the end of Fruge's notes. I would note that regardless of this reliance on social media analytics, the concept is simple. The defendants were ordered to produce the documents, and our law requires them to produce information within their knowledge, possession, or power. Discovery is not supposed to be a guessing game. What the Jones defendants have produced by way of analytics is not even remotely full and fair compliance required under our rules. The court finds that the Jones defendants have withheld analytics and information that is critical to the plaintiff's ability to conduct meaningful discovery and to prosecute their claims. This callous disregard of their obligations to fully and fairly comply with discovery and court orders on its own merits a default against the Jones defendants. Neither the court nor the parties can expect perfection when it comes to the discovery process. What is required, however, and what all parties are entitled to, is fundamental fairness, that the other side produces that information which is within their knowledge, possession, and power, and that the other side meet its continuing duty to disclose additional or new material and amend prior compliance when it is incorrect. Here, the Jones defendants were not just careless. Their failure to produce critical documents, their disregard for the discovery process and procedure and for court orders, is a pattern of obstructive conduct that interferes with the ability of the plaintiff to conduct meaningful discovery and prevents the plaintiffs from properly prosecuting their claims. The court held off on scheduling the sanctions hearing in the hopes that many of these problems would be corrected and that the Jones defendants would ultimately comply with their discovery obligations and numerous court orders, and they have not. In addressing the sanctions should enter here, the court is not punishing the defendants. The court also recognized that a sanction of default is one of last resort. This court previously sanctioned the defendants not by entering a default, but by a lesser sanctioning, the preclusion of the defendants' special motions to dismiss. At this point, entering other lesser sanctions, such as monetary sanctions, the preclusion of evidence, or the establishment of facts, is inadequate given the scope and extent of the material discovery that the defendants have failed to produce. As pointed out by the plaintiffs, they are attempting to conduct discovery on what the defendants publish and the defendants' revenue. And the failure of the defendants to produce the analytics impacts the ability of the plaintiffs to address what is published, and the defendants' failure to produce the financial records, such as the subledgers and trial balances, affects the ability of the plaintiffs to address the defendants' revenue. The prejudice suffered by the plaintiffs, who had the right to conduct appropriate, meaningful discovery so that they could prosecute their claims, again, was caused by the Jones defendants' willful noncompliance, that is, the Jones defendants' failure to produce critical material information that the plaintiff needed to prove their claims. For these reasons, the court is entering a default against the defendants Alex Jones, InfoWars LLC, Free Speech System LLC, InfoWars Health LLC, and Prison Planet TV LLC. The case will proceed as a hearing in damages as to the defendants. The court notes Mr. Jones as sole controlling authority of all the defendants, and that the defendants filed motions and signed off on their discovery issues jointly, and all the defendants have failed to fully and fairly comply with their discovery obligations. As I said, I will order a copy of the transcript, I will sign it, and I will file it in the court as the court's order. All right, so we are done for today, and we will have our next status conference this Wednesday. We're adjourned.